This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack. And in today's news feature, once again, we're going to look at the healing properties of creativity and art. And specifically, how this idea of creativity as a healing tool is the driving force behind a conference coming to St. Cloud on October 24th through the 27th. It's the Survive and Thrive Conference, where the leading voices in the worlds of medicine, emergency response, and the humanities will gather to raise awareness about sudden cardiac arrest, as well as its aftermath. An estimated 325,000 Americans die each year from sudden cardiac arrest, which is an abrupt loss of blood circulation due to the heart's failure to properly contract. Organizers of the conference expect survivors, caregivers, families, scientists, academics, medical personnel, and artists to attend this conference, where there will be concerts, poetry readings, and art displays mixed with scientific demonstrations, CPR instruction, and best practices of emergency medical services. The driving force behind this conference is St. Cloud State University English professor Dr. Rex Veeder. And in today's news feature, we'll be talking with Rex, not only about his personal experience with sudden cardiac arrest, as he is a survivor, but also how he recovered from it, as well as all the different things that this conference has to offer. For more information about Survive and Thrive, you can find it online at survivethrive.net, or you can find it as one of the headlines on the St. Cloud State University website at www.stcloudstate.edu. So, welcome Rex to the studio, and... Well, there's this conference that's coming up in late October that you've organized called Survive and Thrive. And, well, I don't know. Why don't you just kind of tell us a little bit about this interesting new conference?
It is a new concept for a conference because it's a conference and festival. And the idea is that it works out of the idea of a blend of surviving and thriving. And the surviving part has to do with people who have survived a sudden cardiac arrest, which is an instance where your heart just stops and you basically drop. And it's also called sudden cardiac death, which is a very, you know, sort of Family Guy kind of way of looking at things.
Well, it's almost one of those things. When people think of the stereotypical heart attack, that's what they think of. Somebody falls over and then somebody does CPR and then everything's all better. But that's not necessarily how it works, though.
Right. And a sudden cardiac arrest is not a heart attack. And this is the interesting. Well, it could be involved in a heart attack. But basically, sudden cardiac arrest is electric. And heart attack is usually plumbing, and something goes wrong, and something blows out, or that sort of thing, and people can have heart attacks and drive themselves to the hospital. It's been known to happen. People have sudden cardiac arrest, don't do that. They're just gone. And for many years, sudden cardiac arrest has been sort of not discussed very much, but when 350,000 to 400,000 people die in the United States a year of sudden cardiac arrest, I think it should be a topic of concern to the public and generally. And you don't have to be old to have this. Young kids have it. You've probably seen pictures of athletes, playing soccer and suddenly just fall over. Or basketball, and they suddenly fall over. It's a well-known phenomenon. The survival rate's pretty dismal, especially for people who have sudden cardiac arrest outside of the hospital. It's 5% nationally. And out of those 5%, many of them have had brain trauma and brain damage, and a number of them have to have institutional help the rest of their lives. So it's kind of a scary thing, and people need to be aware of it and how to help people survive. And so that's the survive part of this. So consequently, we have part of the conference is emergency medical services. And we have people from, you know, ambulance services and, you know, paramedics and people from emergency rooms and all kinds of people to deal with those sorts of immediate problems and trying to save somebody's life on the spot. So that's one threat. The next threat of this conference that makes it unique is there's a medical technology threat. Those of us who have survived a sudden cardiac arrest, and I'm one, many of us have some sort of device implanted in us that monitors our heart, and if we are going to have another one, will shock us immediately. Sort of a like getting kicked by a mule, you know. It's sort of comforting to know that it's going to happen. It's also sort of nerve-wracking to know it's going to happen. So you're walking around wondering when the next mule kick's going to come, that sort of thing. But there's a whole technology around sudden cardiac arrest and saving people's lives. Dr. Keith Lurie, who's my electrocardiologist and my partner in putting this thing together, is known for putting together an entire program for saving people's lives. That includes medical technology, CPR, and such things as when I went to the hospital, I was cooled. They sort of refer to me as the Iceman. You know, you come out of this. That saves some of your brain cells, you know, and I'm the kind of guy that worries about my brain cells because I don't have enough to work. You know, I mean, we all want to keep a few of them occasionally. And medical technology is a big part of this. And then the Thrive part is what we refer to as narrative medicine or medical humanities, and it's art and music and the kind of therapies that go along with bringing people back from injuries and you know, physical therapy, of course, is involved. But it's interesting that it's connected to brain trauma, all those sorts of things. We're working with veterans from who have come back and experienced brain trauma, and there's a lot of them. Post-traumatic stress is involved and all that sort of thing. So on the one hand, it's very medical. On the other, it's very art-oriented. And this blend of art, aesthetics, and medicine and technology is what makes this a unique experience. It's not that you have to do one or the, you know, all of them. I mean, I'm sure they're going to be people going to come and just try to be emergency medical services people, but they're going to probably have a little talk from a survivor before they start their session. When they end their session, they will probably run into something like a Brazilian drum line or, you know, a mariachi man or something. You know, they're not going to be able to escape the aesthetic experience. So,
yeah, that's kind of the blending of the creativity with the science there. That's something that has been, I don't know if I want to say relatively new, but it somewhat is, that this idea that, you got to have something to live for. You have to, and you know, creativity, you know, when you get into it, it is a very enjoyable life affirming experience. You feel alive because you've made something.
That's a great way to put it. Anna Livingston, who works with me on this project, is working, put it pretty succinctly, I think. And the first part is getting the heart to beat. The second part is to keep it beating. And the third part is to give it a reason for beating. And you described it quite well. I mean, there's all kinds of scientific data, by the way, to explain that explains that this works. It's real. And that creativity and art and music will help people heal. So.
Nice. Well, let's talk about some of the folks that are coming to the conference. Well, on one side, we'll talk about the medical professionals, I guess you will, and then we can go through some of this more creative aspect, because there's definitely some interesting creative aspects to it.
Yeah, and there's some that kind of cross over. I mean, I mean, we can start with a kind of wealth of we have a wealth of visitors that are coming in on the issue of medical humanities and bioethics. We're coordinated with the Common Reading Program at St. Cloud State, and you know, which is the book this year is The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. And so bioethics is a big part of this. And so we have Dr. DiMello Martin from the Cornell School of Medicine coming. And she's a bioethics and specialist. And we have Dr. Schaefer coming, Audrey Schaefer from the Stanford School of Bioethics and Medical Humanities. And Dr. Schaefer works in a veterans hospital with people who've had brain damage and those sorts of things. So we're blessed with some of the leaders in the field in that. Of course, Dr. Lurie will be here, who's the co-founder of Take Heart America. And that's the co-sponsor with St. Cloud State and other institutions. Dr. Lurie, he's currently a professor of internal medicine and emergency medicine at the University of Minnesota. So, you know, we're connected there as well. Other people coming, David Page, he's the Minsky Educator of the Year last year. He works with the idea of EMS and that sort of thing, but he's published a lot and that sort of thing. Norm Oskarström, who is somebody I admire a lot. Norm is the head of the Parent Heart Watch in Minnesota and works with parents and children who've had sudden cardiac arrest and that sort of thing, and there are many. So that's just some of the people. A lot of the people from campus are involved. We have our nursing and allied health and social work people are very much involved in this, as well as the folks in science especially in terms of biology and that sort of thing. We're again blessed with a number of people that are going to be working in these areas, plus student panels, workshops. Pretty exciting.
A lot of people getting involved, for sure. Well, let's see. There's another part of the education, I guess, and that's the creativity side. And we certainly have some interesting people coming, not only coming into town, but are actually from town that are participating. And well, I don't know. Why don't we just kind of, you know, dive into one of the more interesting fellows coming up, Jimmy Santiago Baca.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Jimmy. Is a very successful author, script writer. He's got movies. He's they're making a new documentary of his last book called Place to Stand. Jimmy's a leader in the field of this kind of idea of survive and thrive. His experiences are coming out of the prison system and sort of writing himself into life and prominence. And he does workshops in prisons. He does workshops in schools, high schools, and publishes books of poetry. He's won national book awards. He's his movie Blood In and Blood Out, I think, is still kind of almost a cult film, you know, in the around. And in many ways, he's have the standing with Alexei Sherman, the person we had here last year for the Common Read, because he publishes books, he does novels, he does poetry, he does movies, and very successful. So he's coming, and to sort of let you know how this works, he's giving a reading on the 24th. We're going to be at Ritchie Auditorium on the 24th at 7 o'clock. And before he comes out, we're going to have a group of local poets reading and cavorting about and sort of doing a warm up for the crowd, along with a band from town, Beggar's Dance, and which is Leon Laudenbach and his group, and a singer called Lola, who will be a woman singer for the group. So it'll be kind of a band concert, poetry reading,
extravaganza.
Right. It's going to be pretty wild and crazy. There'll be spoken word and music, and it'll be quite a night. It'll be quite a night. But that's the kind of mixed genre, mixed platform sort of experience that's built into the whole conference.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC, and in today's news feature, chatting with St. Cloud State University professor Rex Veeder about the Survive and Thrive Conference. Coming up in St. Cloud, October 24th through the 27th, and it's all about creativity and healing, specifically for survivors of sudden cardiac arrest, as well as their families and medical personnel who treat them. But it's more than just a conference, it's also a festival. Well, let's see here. How about we talk about the Thriving Hearts Club Band?
Yeah. Grant Hackey and has organized a bunch of people into a sort of new band made up of many local celebrities, Muggsy and some of those folks, and they're going to come in and Muggsy and Jeff on bass, I imagine. I don't know. Is he going to do drums? I don't know what they're going to do, but they have they're putting together a concert. It's a fundraiser for Take Heart. In fact, this whole thing is a fundraiser for Take Heart. You know, I always say, if you're doing this, you're going to save lives and make lives better. But this particular event is going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be food involved and music, and a good time will be had by all. Yeah,
and
sure.
That fundraiser is at D.B. Searles, if I remember correctly, upstairs there.
Upstairs.
Yep. And, yeah, a whole lot of... I was talking with Leanna the other day about it, about who's all going to be involved with this. And there's just a whole... There's a lot of different musicians involved. And it's going to be pretty neat.
A lot of the people that people have been going to... see, and various groups are going to show up and contribute their music and excitement. And I also believe we have some people coming from the cities for this. Eric Austin, who people may know as Big E, is planning on showing up, I believe. We have a fellow by the name of Jason Lewis coming in. Jason is the director of the Carver School of Medicine, Fine Arts. Stuff and writing, and he's a musician and has a number of albums, and he's going to come and join us. So it's going to be a pretty interesting group. Be some good music.
And then Saturday night at the Civic Center, there's one more concert. This is kind of going to be a bigger one, I guess you could say. It's not going to...
That's Friday night. Yeah.
Friday night. That's...
Yeah, we do a Thursday night with the Hearts Club group, and then Friday night we have Pertinier Sandstone and I Like You. Wow. It'll be a big night. It'll be a big night. And then Saturday night we have Bonnie Finken, who has quite a following, I understand, in the cities, and she's from Iowa. Which Minnesotans shouldn't hold against her. She's a blues singer, a rock singer. She blows the roof off buildings when her and her band get going. So she's going to be at the Pioneer Place in the after 9:30.
Mm-hmm. So this conference, if people wanted to find out more about this conference, and how would they go about doing that?
Well, they could certainly contact me at rlveeder@stcloudstate.edu. They can also find us on our website, which is survivethrivealloneword.net. And there's going to be plenty of information around. I'm hoping you'll see some more things on the university site and various other things going on in town. That's probably the best way. Going to the website, you can usually get then in touch with just about anybody you want to from there. The committee members are on there and everything. So,
mm-hmm. Okay. One of the main things of the conference as well is not just so people are coming and, you know, experiencing some neat art and some, you know, neat talks about, the science of healing. But also just hands-on things. There are going to be a few hands-on things. Mm-hmm. One of them in particular is CPR training. And then there's also the 4 minutes room, if you will.
That 4 minute, the 4 minute, 4 minutes for the heart. It's a place where people come tell stories and do, you know, tell their story.
Yeah,
survivor and caregiver witnessing. It's quite an event. Hiding is, we're going to have art, hands-on art activities as well. We're going to have CPR training both days, every hour on the hour. And it's not certification training. It's just so you can save someone's life. I mean, that's all it's about. If somebody drops, you can do CPR. We had a program that took about an hour here at the university a few years back. And in 1 year, we trained over 10,000 people to do CPR. We're hoping to get a whole bunch of people trained in this one, you know, for 2 days.
Uh-huh. All people got to do is stop by the Civic Center and look for the signs.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Well, let's see here. To come back to the idea of, healing and creativity, mm-hmm. I don't know, how has this affected you, or how have you noticed this kind of change, or how have you seen this elsewhere out and about in the world?
Well, we're working with people who are working with people in journal workshops around the country, in veterans hospitals and other places, of course, survivor, centers, trauma centers. For me personally, after my experience, I thought everything was supposed to be okay, but what happens to people who go through something like this kind of trauma, whether it's sudden cardiac arrest or something else, if the brain shuts down and the body shuts down, you have to start it up again, and it doesn't work like a computer. It doesn't get organized. And so you can spend an awful lot of time in all kinds of strange situations. Some people's personalities change so much that their families don't recognize them. In my case, I had a case of what I would call text terror. It was hard for me to read or write. I would start sweating, words would swim on a page, and being an English teacher and that sort of thing, it was sort of nerve-wracking. It was an issue for me. And so I started painting. I don't know what led me to that. Oh, I do. One of my daughters gave me a calligraphy set, and I started just messing with ink and white paper, doing sumi e painting. So I'd paint for a while, and then I got into a process where I'd paint for 45 minutes, and then I'd be done with the painting, and I had to write something on the painting. I messed up some really good paintings that way. But it started me writing again and looking at text in different ways. And it helped me rewire, I think. I did about 250 paintings in 3 months. Was a lot.
Yeah, it is kind of reteaching yourself how to do something that you never thought you'd have to reteach yourself how to do.
Well, and doing something that you're not used to doing, like I had done some watercolor in my life, but I've never been I'm not a painter, I painted a house or, that kind of stuff. But I mean, but the design and the color, eventually I got into watercolor and acrylic color and stuff along with the, ink. I mean, all that helped me rewire along with a bunch of other things. I mean, there's physical therapy there. I listened to music a lot. Eventually I wrote a play, with Leon, a musical, called the Headwater Blues Opry, and we produced it. And, by the time we produced it and I had to memorize all my lines in that play and be in it, I think I was, quite a ways, long way of getting better. For me personally, that's the kind of testimony I feel I have to give about art and putting yourself back together. There are many other stories, and there's an awful lot of scientific data, as I said, about this, it has to do with the way our brains work and the synapses happen and things fire off and all that stuff. But what it comes down to is you immerse yourself in that creative moment and you do your rewiring, you know, sometimes it's really good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one of the kind of the points of the conference is this is happening all over the place. This does happen to people, and maybe it has happened to some of our listeners. Maybe it hasn't. Maybe it will in the future. There's a good chance, you know, and you know, it is part of that life journey and how, you know, you hit a detour.
Well, I can promise everybody that either they're going to be sick or injured, or somebody who's sick or injured or have to deal with the issues of disability in their lifetime. I mean, that's part of being human. So there are two things that I think, you know, we can do in art and that we communicate. One is, you know, there's the sort of notion of suffering. I mean, if you look at art and people's, you know, descriptions of things, is usually suffering. The other is joy, you know, and those are the two basic human attributes that we use to have empathy for one another. So much of this is about empathy, about how doctors can help understand their patients and patients, doctors and caregivers. It's very important.
That's nice. Well, anything else you want to throw in there?
Just come to this thing, you know, have some fun, pick something, go to it. It's been years in the making. It's Cecil B. DeMille's has nothing on this production, believe me. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a good time.
Right on. Well, thanks for coming in and talking today.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
And once again, today we were talking with Rex Veeder, St. Cloud State professor and organizer of the Survive and Thrive Conference, coming to the St. Cloud River's Edge Convention Center, as well as the Pioneer Place on 5th and D.B. Searles, from Wednesday, October 24th through Saturday, October 27th. For more information and a schedule of performances and presenters, you can find it online at survivethrive.net. And you can also find information on St. Cloud State University's homepage at stcloudstate.edu. This has been Jeff Carmack reporting on arts and cultural heritage for KVSC News. And this report was made possible through funding by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. And was produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPERS, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities.